Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy, founders of the Anti-Aging Clinic in Lauderhill, Florida, where the alternatives matter. Now here are your hosts, David and Stephanie Tippy.
Aging Younger, I'm David Tippy.
This is Stephanie Tippy. Welcome to Aging Younger Radio. David and I, we broadcast live every Wednesday from our clinic in Tamarack, Florida. We can be reached at 954-742-4430, and you can visit us online at livelonger123.com. Well, how do I say this? Do not go quietly. That's the title of the book, and we are about to embark on a journey of not going quietly with George and Sedina Capanelli, who are the co-authors of Do Not Go Quietly, which is a guide to living the life you were born to live for people who weren't born yesterday. And the Capanellis are leading advocates for those of us who were not born yesterday and encouraging us to explore the new frontiers and celebrate this precious gift that we all enjoy called life. Now, having that brief introduction, I am really pleased to bring in on the air with us George and Sedina Capanelli. Welcome to Aging Younger Radio.
Welcome, George and
Sedina. Thank you both. So happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you, David and Stephanie. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, it's a pleasure for us because we're aging younger, and we're all about living longer, healthier. And here you come along. I'm surprised we haven't found each other before this. Write a book, Do Not Go Quietly. So there's a lot of synchronicity, don't you think?
Yes, there is.
Absolutely. We have a lot of synergy, obviously, and we're on the what we feel is the right track right now, and awareness.
So who of the two of you is going to tell us what is Do Not Go Quietly all about? I know what it's about, but I want to hear from you guys so our listeners can get a good feel so that they are inspired to go out and get the book and read it as I have.
Well, I think that during the course of our time together, both Sedina and I will give a variety of different perspectives about what the book is and all of it. I think what's most important is for us is that it has an essential reason for being. Sedina and I were kind of tripping merrily through life, and then we arrived at a place where suddenly we found ourselves more and more responsible for the well-being of our own parents and for some of the choices they needed to make. And it was an enormous wake-up call. We suddenly began to understand that the healthcare system is in trouble, that the life care system is straining under the weight of this enormous number of people who are moving into the second half of life, that there wasn't at that moment and still isn't a real blueprint that those of us who are aging or those of us who are responsible for aging parents can follow. And it was very shocking to us. Being a part of those generations that helped bring about some of the great social, political, and environmental movements of the last century, we realized that we couldn't sit meekly in the corner and allow this circumstance to happen. So taking the a hint from Dylan Thomas's well-loved poem, you know, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, we decided to craft a clarion call for people who are in the second half of life to say, let us move forward, let us take our place at the table, let our voices be heard, let us do with this question of aging what we've done with all of these other critical issues that have happened during our lives.
Well, it's so It's so important and so needed, and I see it because David and I are taking care of my father, and he's a senior citizen, and unfortunately, there's been a few bouts in and out of hospitals, I keep saying to myself over and over, I feel so bad for these people lying in the hospital beds or in the emergency rooms. They have nobody to be their advocates, and they just lie there, and they're in the mercy of God at that point, because the healthcare system has totally fallen apart, and I can attest to that because I have worked in the healthcare system for many years as a respiratory therapist in allopathic medicine. Have sold equipment into hospitals for many years, and it's totally different. In the last 20 years, it's changed. It's done a 180.
Mike, just a quick synopsis here of seemingly a relationship that spun from past thoughts as George, you and Sedina got to a point in life. It kind of rang a bell for me. For the best lesson, if you will, of my 30 years in research and extremely grinding because of my passion to learn natural health and wellness modalities, was the fact that I learned early on that chronological aging is a fact of life, but biological aging is your fault. Choice matters. Very, very, seemingly coincidental, but that's what came to mind when you were saying that.
But it's unfortunate that the people do not have the wherewithal to stand up for their own rights, and that's why your book, Do Not Go Quietly, is essential. I think should be in the hands of every household that is caring for a senior.
Absolutely. Well, we couldn't agree with you more. As George said, the book is really a clarion call. It's a motivation for all of us to come into a greater awareness of exactly what you and David were just talking about, Stephanie, for us to all take full advantage of our time here and to really open our eyes to what's going on, as you pointed out, with our elders, and to begin to honor them, which so many cultures do. We're way behind the curve on that. Because really, whether we have 5 years, 10, 20, or even 50 years left, it's still a relatively short time. And it's our time, and we can turn it into something beautiful and exciting and positive. But it all comes back to, as you started with, it's our choice. And absolutely, David, it's our choice to be in the best health that we can possibly be. And, you know, it's just going to catch up with us if we don't take care of it. And there's we give many strategies and Do Not Go Quietly in our book about ways that you can really take your life into your own hands. It's, you know, for everyone who wasn't born yesterday, and there's many of us out there now with this huge demographic revolution, over 50% of our population over 50 years of age for the first time in history. We have the opportunity to reinvent ourselves now and reframe our lives with greater meaning and purpose and passion and bring the world our gifts of wisdom and experience and all those other things we've garnered to this point, so we can mentor those who are younger. And they're going to inherit quite a world. So they're also included in all of this. Our work is definitely includes those that are under 40 as well.
Sedina, why don't you give us some examples as to how you approach the under 40 crowd?
Well, we have an organization called Age Nation. It's a wonderful hub for people in the second half of life. And we have, you know, agenation.com. We have conferences, events, and radio podcasts that are on the site right now. consulting. It goes on and on. We have a digital magazine called Next. Lots of things. And it includes younger people because they're going to be the ones that inherit our world. And there's about 160 million strong of younger people. And so many of them, I'm not exactly sure of the statistic, but it's something like around 3 million. Is that right, George, of teenagers who are the sole providers for parents and grandparents with Alzheimer's. So we're all in this together. This isn't just about those of us who are older. As you said, we're advocates for, yes, for people, you know, over 40, but also for you know, we're all one here, and we're all going to be responsible for what happens to our world, and it's just time to wake up to that.
There's another thing, I think, Stephanie and David, that it's really important when you talk about, you know, how do we talk to or address or how do we relate to this question of building bridges across generations. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Sedina and I believe and that we talk a lot about in the book is that those of us who are older have an obligation and a responsibility to speak truthfully to people who are younger. It's not just about, you know, all of our great accomplishments and our achievements and what we know and what we've done. It's also the screw-ups, you know. It's the places where we've made mistakes. T.S. Eliot says, don't just tell me about the wisdom of old men, but of their frailties and their follies. And that's the grist that I think opens up genuine dialogue, because the more honest we are with those who now will inherit the world, the more we give them insights into both the strengths and the liabilities, the places where we've had breakthroughs and the places that we've had breakdowns. Then, indeed, we have the beginning of connectivity. The same thing is true in owning the fact that there's a lot about this remarkable, astounding whirlwind of a world that we live in that some of us don't understand. We weren't born into a world that was digital. We were born into a world that used semaphores and smoke signals and telegraphs and radios and all kinds of things. So inviting younger people to be our guides and mentors in this journey into a brave new world also builds bridges of understanding. And then thirdly, not giving in to this nonsense that suggests that life ends at 40 or 50 and that one hangs up one's cleats and that's the end of the game, but connecting young people to the lessons of history, to the reality that they're not doing something that's so mind-boggling unique, but that history has repeated itself. And so to live lives of meaning and purpose, one has to be connected to the past as well as receptive to the future. And with those kinds of messages, we believe generational connectivity becomes possible, and through that connectivity, we really have a chance of preventing this ship of state from sailing off the end of the world, you know?
That is so well put. Now, George, you and I had conversation a few weeks ago, and in the brief time we were talking, I told you I thought you had a beautiful speaking voice and that you project very well. And I mentioned to you, David and I had gone to a local TEDx event. I think your message should be put out there, and you should approach TED and give your message about the generational gap and how it can be closed to bring the generations together and to work together in bringing forth this transition, because we are in transition. This world is in transition.
Yes, yes, it is. And if we don't approach TED, we'll approach Irene or Mary. The TED Talks are really extraordinary. They're bringing together remarkable people with terrific stuff to share with audiences that are receptive to listening, and I really applaud all of that work. And no doubt that we will cross paths and connect. And as Sedina said, Age Nation is designed to be some of that through all of the different channels that we offer. But there's no doubt, Stephanie, that the future of the world is dependent on our ability to form cross-generational relationships.
Right. I just have to say I agree with you, Stephanie. I think George absolutely has a way of getting across the message beautifully, and would be wonderful on a TED Talk. We've been doing talks all around the country, but that's just the another thing that will come.
You know, I was very appreciative of what you just said, George, about the idea that, you know, maybe not Ted, but maybe Mary, Irene, or Joyce, or one of the other ladies, because one of the things that that I've learned in past, and you brought some of them up very graciously just a moment ago, and that is, you know, we started out with smoke signals and that type of thing. We got into what was called the tap-tap lines communication, and finally we went from those communications into something that was called telegraph, and then of course after those tom-toms to telegraphs, then we went to telephone. You know, boy, that was an invention. It was really interesting. And then we went to television. You know, there's a lot of teles going on there, but we didn't realize that we had the best tele in the very beginning, and we're only learning that now, and that is telewoman. And you brought it up very graciously. I do appreciate that, George.
That's
very well
said. I don't know how you take
it. I like that.
You like that, Sedina?
I do. Really? Don't you, Stephanie?
Yes, I do, because I married a comedian. You know, he's part comedian, part scientist, my best, my soulmate, my lover.
Oh,
well, we're very similar there. I married my soulmate, and he is definitely a comedian. One of the saving graces of our marriage is that George can make me laugh so hard, and I'm really grateful for it. Plus, he's remarkable in so many ways.
But that's
part
of what makes us all
young. It does. I think humor, irreverence, you know, we talk about it throughout the book in a variety of places. We talk about crazy wisdom. We talk about spontaneity. We talk about a number of things that do help us retain our sanity in a world that sometimes can be pretty rigid. You know, there's a David Ogilvy, who was the master advertising pitchman who created Ogilvy and Mather, which was at one point one of the great advertising agencies in the world. David was quite a wit, and he used to say that rules were made for the guidance of wise men and the obedience of fools, you know. And unfortunately, I think we live in a world where there are people that take themselves and their rules so darn seriously. And instead of recognizing that they're designed to be kind of guideposts along the way that give us a sense of direction or whatnot, people adhere so rigidly to them, and that creates calcification, and that is what's wrong with some of those, some of us who weren't born yesterday, who have given up our spontaneity and our curiosity and our creativity. And so do not go quietly. When we say it's a clarion call, it's also a reminder. It says, hey, you know, it's never too late or never too soon to live the life that you were born to live. So if you have been living a life that someone else decided was right for you, you know, someone who said, hey, put aside those foolish dreams of being a singer or a dancer or an adventurer or an explorer or a healer and do something practical with your life. Well, it's time we say to those voices in our head, shut the heck up. I'm going to live the life that I was born to live, that came in with me in my DNA. I'm going to live exciting, adventurous, extraordinary lives, even if it's only on paper or when I sit down at the piano or when I go into the garage to putter with a new invention. But that's where my spirit, that's where my energy lies, and I'm going to follow it. I'm not going to go out quietly. I'm not going to be calcified and rigidified. I'm going to go outside of the boundaries.
Absolutely.
George, this book, Do Not Go Quietly, the more we're talking about it and the more insight that I'm hearing about, of it, I did go through some of the book. I have not read the entire book yet, but I will finish it. I believe this book would also help major corporations. And one of the reasons, now, I've been in corporate America for over 30 years prior to going into business with David. And one of the reasons I believe that many corporations do not make it or start failing is because of the rigidity in the rules and regulations, and it starts from up above and flows downward and does not allow for the creativity of the under management or the worker bees to come forth. And I think that's another whole market where your book can be of very good use.
Well, thank you, and
Hi, George.
And we, you know, Sidina and I do a lot of work with large organizations, and there is that sense of spirit and adventure that we encourage. And if you think about a number of the companies who have really exploded onto the scene in this new age, they are companies that have uniqueness and creativity and imagination at their core, and they do things in different ways. You know, people don't have to wear a white shirt and a striped tie. They don't have to do things the way they were done in the past, and that is helping bring a number of new ideas and innovation into the space. So, but at its heart, what Do Not Go Quietly really says is, look, each of us has an obligation and a responsibility. We have it first and foremost to ourselves. We then have it to those we love and those who are in our immediate circle, and then we have it to the world at large. And that responsibility is to use this gift, this precious gift of life, to do the work for which life was intended. We're not here to hang out. We're not here to waste this precious gift. Life is a giant school. We're here to demonstrate what we know and learn what we don't so that we raise our levels of consciousness and thereby contribute to the well-being of ourselves in our own journeys and to humanity as a whole. So the book carries us through a series of stages. First, we look at the world as it is. Then we take a look at some fundamental concepts and ideas, tools for the journey. Then we look at the past, we look at the present, and then we look at the future. And the one reason that we talk about this individual responsibility is that we believe that rather than going out and continually visiting upon the world, our incompleted business or our wounding or our inadequacy, it's our job to heal body, mind, spirit, and emotions so that what we do in the world has greater relevance and applicability to the well-being of humanity.
And, you know, it really always comes back, we mentioned this earlier, about choice and our power to choose what is absolutely best for us. So it may be going back and picking up something that George was alluding to earlier that we had to put aside to have kids or start a career, and really honoring that now. It's, I think about hiking in a valley and knowing at some point I'm looking up and I'm going to get to this mountain. And then getting up there, and the breath is just so expansive, and I can see. I have a broad vision up there. And I look down to the valley, and I say, yeah, you know, I've been there, and it's beautiful, but look where I am now. So this broad, expansive vision that we have, this higher perspective that we have as we're older, is something we never had access to when we were younger. You know, it's wonderful to celebrate the young and the valuable gifts of youth, but the trouble comes, we believe, in our society and the world really now, is that we believe, a lot of us, that that's the only cycle we're celebrating. And aging and being an elder will never have any meaning as long as we measure it in the same way that we're measuring youth. And it's not just about being thin and having great skin. It's really a time to rebalance and redefine what we mean in each of our hearts. What does it mean to me to be aging, to become an elder, to be spreading my wings and sharing my wisdom and my experience? Because that's what the world needs from us. It needs our guidance so desperately right now.
You know, that was a very good synopsis, and I take away from that something that is just a lifelong passion of mine. Of course, you just got through saying experience what you know, and of course, review and study what you don't know, and of course, review the past. And one of the greatest things in the world is the dictionary. And when we pick up that dictionary and we realize what a complete meaning is behind doing something over and over and over again, each time expecting a different outcome, that's
vanity.
The explanation of insanity. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in that. I live my life that way in try to find ways to bridge to people who are lost in that, what I call the hypocrisy of trying to do the same thing but yet expecting a different outcome.
Right.
George,
it's so
during the show, you've mentioned how you do encourage people to live life to the fullest because life is a precious gift, to live life the way they were born to live it. How do you encourage these people who don't know? There are people who are lost, who really don't know who they are or what life they were meant to live. How do you guide them to live the life they were meant to live?
Well, you know, there's a story that Carl Jung, one of the founders of psychology, used to tell about one of his first trips to Africa. And he arrived in Africa and he got to this remote train station. And he was born in Switzerland, and he was used to punctuality and effectiveness and efficiency and all the rest of it. So he gets to this train station. There's nobody there to meet him. He's got all this luggage, and he's walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on the train station, getting more and more upset that the people are late and all the rest of it. And there's this little old man that's sitting at the side of the station. And he watches Jung for a while, and then he waves him over, and he says to him, first time in Africa? And Jung says, yes. And he says, I have a recommendation for you. He said, in Africa, whenever you're lost, sit down. And so one of the first things that we encourage people is to stop the noise, stop all of the rushing around and the activity, and learn to be a little bit comfortable in the silence. Learn to be a little bit comfortable with not knowing what to do next, and then let that inner voice, that still small voice within, begin to communicate what it has known from the beginning and that we have known from the beginning and forgotten. But it's impossible to remember when we're so caught up in all of the fluff and the nonsense and the trivia and the noise that comes at us. It's only then that we begin to be able to understand some critical things. The difference, for example, between believing and knowing. Knowing results from our own experience, and our souls.
George, we're going to let's take a real quick break,
sure.
And then
absolutely.
We come back.
Sure.
On knowing and willing. Okay.
Believing and knowing.
Believing and knowing. Just one moment, please.
Okay.
Look your best, safely, without surgery. We offer non-surgical facelift treatments, complete with professional skincare products utilizing magical copper. The Anti-Aging Clinic shows you weight management and body contouring, all safe and non-invasive. Turn back the hands of time with growth factor spray. Antioxidants are our first line of defense against aging. Our professionals can scientifically verify if your vitamins are working with new laser technology. Get your score by calling today.
Aging younger is a way of life. When you understand that, good health and longevity will follow. The brain and endocrine system control your body, including things like weight gain. When your hormones are out of balance, your body cannot function properly. Call the Anti-Aging Clinic and begin to age younger today. Call 954-742-4430. That's 954-742-4430.
We're back, and we thank our listeners for staying with us. So, George, you were talking about knowing and believing, correct?
Yes. You know, the majority of human beings on this planet, especially at this time, base their lives more on other people's belief than they do on their own knowing. And we are applauded and acknowledged and celebrated and coddled when we parrot other people's beliefs, and we belong to groups and organizations that adhere to and support beliefs. But the truth of the matter is, we're not alive to simply parrot other people's beliefs. That life that we were born to live is based on our own experimentation. Unfortunately, our educational system today is one that celebrates beliefs, and it celebrates parroting the information that's presented. But the very word education, from the Latin educare, means to call forth from within. So in order to call forth from within, we have to experiment. We have to go outside the lines. We have to take things apart. We have to fall down and stumble so that we can get up and know what it's like to be able to get up. One of the reasons that all of us get trapped at some time and feel so stuck is that we forget that we know how to get up when we fall. So it's okay to risk. And when we risk, we discover, and when we discover, we connect with our own knowing. And so living a life based on one's personal knowing, even if it causes challenges with people around us, is better than living a life based on other people's belief that may get us attention and acceptance, but ultimately we miss the meaning of the game.
And Stephanie, I just want to address, when you first, just to add on to what George just said, and to address a little bit for those people that you were mentioning that are lost, and I agree, there's a lot of people confused. Everything is going so fast. And one of the things that we do know, talk about believing and knowing, we know it in our bones, is our connection with nature. And our earth is our home. All around us are the answers to a more sane and sustainable and fulfilling life at any age. And it can be a huge grounding. It can help us drop the doubts and insufficiencies and the fears that come about with aging or the changes that we're all going through. And this strong connection with nature can come just simply by being aware that when we come into the autumn of our lives, then we can think of it as one of our seasons, just as the earth has her seasons. And it's a different perspective. We can look at the harvest of autumn and the settling in of winter as no less important as the seeding of spring. Now, one without the other is really meaningless. So to be in the silence, as George started off saying, and staying close to the solitude of nature can recenter us and reset the rhythm of the mind and the body and the spirit and keep us positive and connected to our own true natures, and we won't get lost. Our breath is another thing, can bring us back into the present moment where we live, where we are. We're not in our heads and worrying and fearful. You know, there's a quote that years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. So I find for myself, and we mention it a lot in the book, there being in nature is such a guide and such a solace to us at any time of life, but particularly when as we age.
You know, there's the greatest thing in life is to realize comparisons. And as I'm listening to you, I realize I offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and I'm involved with a lot of ladies. And we talk a lot about some of these very same issues and how to balance hormones, we have to understand the stress factor and we have to help them over that little area that we call the gray area. And the way that I've actually been successful in helping them get to that point in this specific area is to realize that every problem exists because the correct solution has not been applied. And I ask each one to write down from 1 to 100 or 1,000 or 1 to 5 or whatever it is that they are thinking about on a daily basis that creates distress in their life, because that stress hormone, as you know, is a killer. It is an imbalancer of the entire endocrine system. And I won't go into the entire pathway, but it's the basics of what they have to do for themselves. When they write this down, I ask them in private to read it several times a day in private. And whenever they write all of the things down, I tell them to leave a space at the top of the page so that they, as soon as they get them written down and they can read them back to me, then I will ask them to write something at the top of the page. When they get them all written down, and they talk about number one, oh, this guy or this woman or this job or this whatever, then, you know, and they go all the way down, then I ask them to go to the top of the page and write the sentence, the following: I am willing to die for the following. And so that little man that George was talking about in the back of the head comes out and says, oh, that's a lie. You're not willing to die for that. And so it begins to help you stabilize and get yourself over to a positive way of thinking about the things that you have drawn such negative conclusions on that have been dominating your life. Because when you keep it in your mind instead of on a piece of paper, it can get huge, eons, books full. But when you write it on a piece of paper, it seems very small. Do you agree with that?
I think it's a fabulous exercise. It sounds really very good. There's so many things right now. I just want to say, people that are listening, that this time of life is an incredible time. We have to remember that we have, we may go through hormonal changes. There's a lot of things that are going to change. And when we were younger, we had a lot of physical energy. We still do. But what we have now that we never had access to when we were younger is that our souls are empowered. We have all that knowledge and wisdom from the mistakes we made and the missed opportunities and all of that. So our souls are seasoned and they're ready for rich experiences that require a deeper spiritual, emotional, and psychological energy that we did not have when we were younger. So we've got so much going for us. It's a limitlessness. And again, as you said, David, it's a positive attitude. It's seeing ourselves delivered and free, saying every day, I am whole, I am well, breathing into that and feeling it is the most important thing. And that's what brings it into being. And the more negative we are, we're going to bring that in. But there's so much extensive research being done on people that are 50 plus, and they found developmental possibilities for the second half of life that actually ramp up at 80 and 90, things that we never had when we were younger. And it's not about physical performance. It's about the mind, and it's the mind and the spirit, really. We have increased inner security, a redefinition of time and space, and we can connect more deeply, meaningfully in community. And that actually contributes to longevity. So this is a very special time of life, and it's just a matter of changing your perspective. And seeing it, seeing yourself alive and well is such a huge part of it. So I agree with you.
It is. It is a very special time. I think we are here for, we chose to be here. Mm-hmm. We are in the right place, in the right time, in the now, because there is a definite shift going on, and there is a definite universal frequency that we are mm-hmm. tapping into. There is an intelligence out there that we did not have privy to before, but we are able to tap into that intelligence, and by tapping into mm-hmm. it, we're bringing that the body, mind, and spirit a lot closer. So everything Absolutely. You're saying is so true. It's just getting people to understand and having them be willing to take that step into understanding that, yes, we can become closer to Source, to One, because it's all about
yes.
one. It's all about oneness. And where there was a picture that's coming into my mind now. It came across on one of my social media, and it was a baby elephant embracing a man, a human being, because the baby elephant just lost its mother. And it was, and so here this baby elephant was hugging a man. And I saw that, and I posted it, and I said,
wow,
this is oneness. And that's what it's all about. So it's people like you and George and David and me and the other people that we have on our show. We're bringing all this to the forefront so everybody realize that we're not living in a secluded, isolated life like our parents did.
Absolutely.
Totally different generation. Totally mm-hmm. different. So it's a beautiful time. I think it's a very exciting time that we're living in.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And it is exciting to meet people like both of you, because what we're doing, we have a passion for it, I guess you can hear, that's palpable. And we really feel that this is time, and I know you feel it too, to get this message out, to help people and buoy them up. Because we don't have, you know, we are more than our bodies and minds. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. So let's wake up to that.
Yes.
Come out of the closet of aging and realize we're all one. Doesn't matter what age we are, but we can be absolutely our best, and this can be a joyful, amazing time of life.
Oh, yes. And that's why David and I, and I think you can hear the passion in our voices.
Absolutely.
You know, aging younger, and we say it's a lifestyle change, because we know that with this universal intelligence and tapping into it, we can live longer, but why let the body go downhill? Why not live a healthy lifestyle? Why not tap into that intelligence, tap into the nature that you so eloquently talked about, Sadina, so that we can have our bodies intact and so that we can survive things like Obamacare. I had to throw that out.
Well, I also think, though, you know, I support everything that's been said, you know, thus far in this hour, and certainly the incredible work that you guys are doing. And at the same time, I think that it's also important for us not to obviate or run away from death, you know? I mean, the truth of the matter is that we punch our ticket in, and the cost of a mission is also the cost of exit. that we can make the quality of our lives while we're here better and better and better. We can raise our consciousness. We can develop new skills. We can take advantage of all these opportunities. And as Castaneda said a long time ago, it's also wise to keep death over the left shoulder and to consult death, to include it as an ally while we're alive, to help us remember that no matter how long we extend it, eventually life, physical life as we know it within this body and this form, comes to an end. And so the more we keep that in mind and the more we remember that life is precious, that life is finite, physical life is finite, at least this incarnation of physical life is finite, then I think it enriches us. And unfortunately, in our culture and our society at this time, there's a terrible avoidance of the conversation. I mean, we might talk about it when there's some catastrophe, or we might talk about and spend a lot of time worrying about the way we might exit. But unfortunately, there's not enough, I don't think, integration of death into life. And we believe that one of the reasons that so many people are afraid of death and don't want to talk about it is that they're not really living life to the fullest. You know,
and also,
if you're...
Let me interject,
sure.
Please,
George. Yeah.
Also, I believe the fear is that there is, the understanding is not there, that the soul lives on.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. Our society teaches us to resist aging and all of its physical signs and push our feelings down and try to fix ourselves, you know, into something that we once were and look at younger images as the good, which is, of course, an illusion. So we naturally are going to come to reject ourselves rather than accept the beauty of the present where we are, which is why so many people have such a hard time looking at their own death. They haven't been in touch with reality for so long. But when we know we're more than our bodies and minds, we can experience soul consciousness in our daily life. As George said, we can keep death right over our left shoulder and view ourselves as spiritual beings, having this experience, this physical experience, but we're one, as you keep saying, Stephanie, one with all that is, and we can transform then this aging process into a spiritual opportunity and go beyond time, and we're no longer trapped in the limitations of getting older. And when we die, we're still in that present moment, and all the possibilities unfold, and it's like, wow, okay, now I'm going to another possibility.
Exactly.
And death is not so fearful.
You know, I would like to inject, and I'm hoping that he's listening out there, Reverend Lucius Robinson. We have this conversation on occasion. And by the way, the greatest injection, if you could, in making someone aware of life is to let them realize that they were given the grace to wake up that morning, and you will live that day with every ounce of your energy doing all things that you can to accomplish all things that are in your heart, mind, and soul. And then if you wake up the next morning, you're going to be continuing it, but you have no guarantee. And when you start worrying about whether or not today or tomorrow or next week is the last morning you wake up, you cease to exist anyway. So when you put that completely aside and realize that you've been given a day, as soon as you wake up and you realize you're alive, you use that day. You have 339,000 hours in a year. Use them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the quote that goes, never fear growing old, there are many who have never had the privilege. So it's a privilege to be alive, and it's an opportunity at any age And as I said earlier, you know, we don't know, 5 years, 1 year, 10 years, it's still, it doesn't matter. It's just a really limited time, so we might as well make the best of it and share all of the gifts that we've been given, because each one of us has a special note to play in this song of life.
It's also, I think, you know, for those individuals who do such wonderful service work with people who are making their passages at the end of life, the stories that so many of them tell about what an extraordinary and beautiful and healing experience death actually is, that all of the fears and whatnot tend to fall away at some particular point, and people come to a particular level of peace and acceptance, and they sense what is beyond the veil and all the rest of it. And so, you know, the purpose of Do Not Quietly, which is where we really begin and where we're beginning to wind to, is that Do Not Go Quietly tells a whole story. You know, we don't go to a play and leave before the end of the second or third act. We don't go to the symphony and not hear the final movement. We don't read a novel and not want to know what happens to the characters. We don't, you know, so why would we want to lead a life that we somehow or another tune out on before we know what the summation, what the total, what the conclusion is? And why would we not want to make that conclusion as extraordinary and unique and beautiful and tender and intimate and uplifting and compassionate and loving as we can? And Do Not Go Quietly is really a guide, a practical guide, each chapter filled with exercises and things to look at. Each chapter concludes with a life rule, a life achievement, and a life tool. The life rules are generally wonderful quotes by people. You know, George Burns once said, young, old, just words. Life achievements identify people, both the ordinary and the remarkable, who have done truly extraordinary things in the second half of their lives, who demonstrate the truth about that it's never too old or too young to live your dreams. And the life tools are practical exercises that people can use every single day. So you could read Do Not Go Quietly 10 times or 50 times. You could do the exercises every day or just periodically. But it really is a wonderful, rich companion that
let's
can
get,
help people, young or old, to do it.
Let's get people a way to get that book. We're coming down to the wire. I want to see as many times as possible how to get it so that we don't just say it one time. Give them
Amazon,
understanding how to get it.
You know, Amazon.com, you can get both the hardcover and the Kindle edition. Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores. You can go to our website, donotgoquietlythebook.com, and learn all about it and listen to interviews and read reviews and all kinds of things, agenation.com. So these are all ways you can get the book, and we celebrate and thank you for asking, and we'll repeat it a couple of more times.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have, I mentioned earlier, agenation.com, which is a hub for people in the second half of life. It's a huge canvas there, and we invite everybody to come and paint and just poke around on that site as well. But Amazon.com is a perfect place to go, and any good bookstore, all the independents have it. And also, we just want to say there's also wonderful, inspiring stories throughout the book that we're just trying to give people a guide and a real interactive way of making this time of life successful and joyful, and so that, you know, we can all say with pride that we've done our best to live the best of our life. So we hope you'll get the book and you'll join us on Age Nation and give us your comments, please.
And there's also just, throughout the book, we encourage people to go to the website, Do Not Go Quietly, the book. And there are guided imagery processes that
right.
they can listen to. That there's a great process on forgiveness. There's a, you know, there's some, and they're all free. All of these processes on the site. They're designed to help perpetuate and deepen the experience. Sedina has this extraordinary ebook there on self skills. You know, different things that people can practice while they're reading the book. So it's very rich territory, and there's an old expression, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance, and
you're talking about expense now, and that's one of the greatest things that I bring up in some of the PowerPoint presentations I give to different organizations, and I kind of end with that, and I say, you know, what good is wealth without your health? You know, there's no U-Haul trailers at the graveside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, go ahead, Stephanie, I'm sorry.
We're down to just about 4 minutes, and, you know, I think you can cover this very nicely. Can you give some really good sound closing advice for people who were not born yesterday, so that they could take it, listen to you, and be inspired to go out and get the book?
Well, again, for me, the single most important piece of advice that we can give is for individuals to turn down the noise, get in touch with their own wisdom, which is the greatest source of wisdom that they will ever encounter, and let that wisdom lead them. It's impossible to be in touch when one is totally engrossed in the noise of the world. So listen to the wisdom of your heart, listen to the wisdom of your soul, and you will never go wrong. And then when that wisdom introduces you to new books, to new things to do, to exercises, mm-hmm. practice them with courage, with commitment, so that you give yourself the opportunity to live the very best life that you can.
And also, I would say, we mentioned this throughout Do Not Go Quietly, the book, is to really use your imagination, the gift that you had when you were a child, and stir up those gifts and talents that you once had. Think of those things that you love to do and resurrect your dreams. It's never too late or too soon to live your dream. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, as we grow old, the beauty steals inward. So remember, the body ages, but the spirit does not. When we're younger, we have...
That is so true. That is awesome that you brought that up.
It's true. When we are younger, we have many gifts that we lose as we grow older. But as we age, we have some amazing gifts that we didn't have access to when we were younger. So please, stand in your wisdom and experience. Don't be afraid of it. And share it with others, because that's what you're here for.
Exactly. Yes, I have a saying. This is my own personal saying. I'm sure other people, well, is sharing is caring. And on my emails, I say sharing is caring. And so what you two have put together with all your wisdom, your spiritual wisdom, living in this human experience, is quite well packaged and Do Not Go Quietly.
On Amazon.com. Do Not Go Quietly.
Both David and I endorse it and encourage our listeners to get the book and to engage in conversation with George and Sedina at agenation.com. And I'm going to go on that site and engage in some conversation with the both of you. and we are running
out. You're both such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Stephanie and David. Really, what a pleasure to meet people that are so, it's, you know, right there with us, and we just feel so buoyed up and ready to do more, you know?
We will, Sedina, because I'm going to call you after this, but we're down to 20 seconds, so we're going to have to say goodbye. And I want to thank both of you for joining and sharing with us. And until next week, for all our listeners, God bless you all.
You've been listening to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy. You've just heard that alternatives to the sickness industry are alive and well, helping you to age younger. The Anti-Aging Clinic is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill, Florida. You can reach David and Stephanie at 954-742-4430. That phone number again is 954-742-4430. And you can learn more about them on their website, livelonger123.com. Join us every Wednesday and Friday at 1 o'clock for Aging Younger on 1040 WLVJ.